Thank you for being here today, and welcome to today's special edition of COVID-19 Update. We have a couple of different items of business before I actually get to the case report on COVID-19. And first, let me make a thank you out there to Walmart. Walmart, at my request, has donated 7,000 masks that's been delivered in Northwest Arkansas. 3,000 of these are N95 masks that will go to Washington Regional Medical Center and to Mercy Hospital in Rogers, and 4,000 are the three-ply masks that will go to the Community Clinic, Arkansas Coalition of the Marshallese, Hispanic Women's Organization of Arkansas, and Arkansas United. And so thank you, Walmart, for helping us out with the delivery of those masks. And now let me come to the question that's been bantered about in terms of a special session, and I want to applaud the General Assembly for working through this issue. I know that I received a letter from a majority of the senators expressing support for immunity liability during this pandemic, both for healthcare workers as well as for small businesses that are trying to reopen. That was joined in a letter from the House members that there was a majority of House members that supported that type of legislation, and a call for a special session. And at the same time there was a call for the special session, there were a number of members who wanted the legislation that said, we really don't want to have a special session during this pandemic and during the challenging times that we have. And so I have worked with the Speaker, Matthew Shepherds is with us today, as well as the Senate Pro Tem, Jim Hendren, and they have supported and the idea of an executive order that during the pandemic that would solve the challenge of the immunity liability. And they have brought with them today, and I wanted to applaud Senator Scott Flippo for his leadership on this, as well as Representative Robin Lundstrom, Representative Austin McCollum, and of course, who do I leave out here? Senator Matt Pitch as well. And so all of them have been such great team members. And this is a General Assembly initiated effort because without the support of the legislation that was demonstrated, this would not have come about. And without the practical recognition that this is not the best time for a special session, I would not be signing these executive orders today. And before I go through the elements of the three executive orders that I will sign, I wanted to recognize the Speaker first for his comments, followed by Senator Hendren. And I will say that this does mean that there will not be a special session, but we'll be able to solve this challenge that we face through the executive order. Speaker Shepherd.
Thank you, Governor. I just want to thank the Governor for his work on these three executive orders. As the Governor alluded to, over the course of the last month or so, there's been a growing discussion about should there be certain liability protections, specifically immunity provided to certain aspects of the business and healthcare community, as well as to try and address maybe some of the issues that could arise with regard to workers' compensation. And I would like to thank Senator Hendren and the Senate for their work on this, along with House members. And we have Representative Dalby, who's the chair of House Judiciary, who had worked in helping us to fine-tune some of the language. Representative Lundstrom has really championed this cause from the outset. And then Representative McCollum, the majority leader, has also taken a leading role in moving this forward and working in developing consensus. And what became clear to me as I obtained feedback from many members was that there was strong consensus on the two bills that were circulated and that are the subject of these executive orders. But what also became clear, as the Governor alluded to, was that there were various concerns, various viewpoints raised with regard to should we be called into to a session at this particular point in time. And in light of that, we worked with the governor's office, and that brings us to the signing of these executive orders today. We know that this is something that the governor does not enter into lightly. Going back to his original declaration, we know that the governor takes these matters very seriously, and we look forward to continuing to work with the governor on a number of different issues. And there's always the opportunity in the future to further address any of these issues that have been raised, as well as others. But for the time being, we feel like this is a adequate remedy to address many of the concerns and to send the message to our businesses and our employees that we appreciate them getting back to business, providing the necessary services to our citizens, and that if they are making the right effort, if they're following those guidelines that are out there, that they should the fear of litigation should be minimized. And with that, thank you, Governor, for your leadership.
Senator Hendrick. Thank you, Governor, and Mr. Speaker. And as in the cases of most progress, it really took a lot of cooperation between both the House and the Senate and the executive branch. And I also want to thank Speaker Shepard, Representative Dalby, and Representative Lundstrom, Representative McCollum. They've been great to work with. This really got some momentum on the Senate end. Senator Hester, Senator Flippo, Senator Pitch, many of us pitched together to put a letter together to the governor that was very clear that businesses needed some protection as they opened up in this environment. So many of them have been so battered by the loss of customer base, by mandatory shutdowns, and now the thought that they're going to open up, try to get back on their feet, and be hit with lawsuits was just something that was a real concern to so many that the Senate felt like it was important that we take action, as several other states have done and continue to do. So we sent, and sometimes, as you may know, senators don't always agree, and to get 23 out of 26 of the Republican caucus to agree on that letter that it's important policy, whether it be by executive session or executive order, or whether it be by special legislative session, we felt the policy needed to be accomplished. But then the hard work of getting a policy that did what we wanted to do, but also did not provide for blanket immunity for bad actors. And I appreciate, again, especially Representative Dalby and Representative Shepard, their patience as attorneys working with an engineer to try to hammer out the details of this. Because the way this legislation is intended is to not allow a free pass for bad actors. And in fact, the only way you get this immunity is if you make a good faith effort as a business to comply with CDC guidelines. We still expect businesses to protect their employees, to provide safe workplaces, and this legislation ensures that that is accomplished. You don't get the immunity if you're a bad actor. And again, they really found a way that we could craft that language that accomplished that, but yet also still provided for some assurance to businesses that had this fear that they could lose everything because of something beyond their control. And so I appreciate the teamwork that's come into putting this together. I appreciate the governor's willingness to do this immediately with an executive order, because it is going to be more expeditious. This, as we found out through the process, this immunity is not retroactive, so every day we waited was another day a business was at risk. So I think it's a good day for the businesses of Arkansas. It's also a good day for the employees. Another part that we haven't talked about yet is the workman's comp. Anybody who gets COVID-19 at work deserves to have those health care costs and those associated time off paid for. And the workman's comp executive order will make sure that that is the case, because under current law that is not the case. So I think it's a victory for the workers and for the businesses and for Arkansas. So thank you for helping us put it together.
Thank you, Senator Hendren and Speaker Shepard. And now, if we could, let me go through a couple of the details and high points of the executive orders. First, as Senator Hendren mentioned, on the executive order on workers' compensation coverage, it assures workers' compensation coverage for the employees. And so COVID-19 is considered an occupational disease under the law. COVID-19 shall be an exception to the prohibition on compensation for ordinary diseases of life. That's just the current law in the state of Arkansas. There does have to be a causal connection between employment and the disease, and it extends during the period of the public emergency. And so on all of these executive orders, these extend during the emergency, and whenever the legislature convenes in January, they'll be able to readdress that. The second executive orders on medical workers, healthcare workers, and providers are authorized to use crisis standards of care to respond to treat COVID-19 patients. Obviously, that is the environment in which we live. The healthcare providers, as emergency workers, are immune from civil liability as long as they're good actors. It does not extend to willful, reckless, or intentional misconduct. And again, this immunity is simply during the public health emergency. And then the third executive order is on business liability. All businesses and their employees shall be immune from civil liability as a result of exposure to COVID-19. The immunity does not apply to willful, reckless, or intentional misconduct, and there is a presumption that the actions are not willful or reckless if the business owner substantially complies with public health directives. Now, I hope that this serves as an incentive for good behavior so that there is, whenever you follow the public health directives in the businesses, then you can have that presumption. It does not extend to workers' compensation benefits because that's obviously something we want covered, so that's not an exemption. Is not part of the immunity coverage. And then finally, the immunity is effective from today until the emergency is terminated. And that, of course, is what an executive order is for during this time of emergency. With that, I'm going to come here and we're going to sign the executive orders, and then I'll bring in my public health team. We'll do questions afterwards, and the Speaker and Senate Pro Tem will be available in the event there's questions related to this. Can I have this chair over here?
Sir.
Which relates to immunity from liability for businesses. I'm going to sign this the 15th day of June, 2020. And then we have Executive Order 2034, which is the public health immunity. I'll sign this the 15th day of June. And then the third executive order is for the workers' compensation, making sure that they are covered even as a result of COVID-19 when there's a causal relationship. And I will sign that. And again, let me applaud the General Assembly and each of the members that are here that's led this effort. And these would not be signed without their leadership and the guidance of the General Assembly. Thank you very much.
All right, so we're going to thank you.
Okay, we got Dr. Romero here, so we're ready to shift gears. And again, these members hopefully will stay here through this and be available for questions. And again, I'll say that Dr. Nate Smith is not unavailable because of quarantine. He will be out today and tomorrow and will be back Wednesday. I'm glad to have Dr. Jose Romero here. Yesterday, we had 12,501 COVID cases in Arkansas. The last 24 hours, we've had an additional 416 cases, which brings us to 12,917 cases in Arkansas. Of those, 8,352 are recovered. In terms of hospitalizations, we have an additional 5 that have been hospitalized, brings us to 206. And in terms of Arkansans who have succumbed to COVID-19, we have an additional 3 that brings our deaths to 182. And if we could, let's go on to the charts to show it in a different way. This gives you the historical perspective as to the day that I hope we don't repeat, which was over 700 cases coming in one day. Here you see us going down and leveling off at about 400. And then you'll see the next is the seven-day rolling average, which is the orange line. And you can see how that trend line is. And then the next one was the number of hospitalized. And you can see this is really, right now it's more of a flat plateau. And hopefully it will continue there. And that's a very important statistic because as you test more, as you have more cases, the hospitalizations is so key to us. And over the weekend we had a couple, 2 days of reduced hospitalizations, even though we went up 5 today. And then if we look at the testing, and this is another part of the good news, you can see here that we've actually tested a record number in the last 24 hours with over 7,000 tests. Specifically, 7,063 tests were conducted, most of those by commercial labs, but our Department of Health continues to focus, as well as the UAMS laboratory as well. If you go to the positivity rate, here again, you can see the last few days we have a low positivity rate again, and a low positivity rate with 7,000 tests is a very positive sign, and I think that is one of the reasons that our hospitalizations is not gone up more dramatically, even though I know that it is a strain on those incredible hospital workers that are devoting themselves so ardently to this task. And then this is the where we are cumulative. This is the 15th day of June, so we're halfway through the month. Our goal was 120,000 tests, and we're on target to meet that with 68,000 tests that have been conducted. Before I recognize Dr. Romero, I did want to say that whenever we had the new test of 416, 126 of those were in Washington County. We had 53 in Benton County. Of those, a large number of those were in seven households. So you can see how one household can impact a large number of cases. Then it goes to Pope County, had 25, Sevier County 20, and all the rest were below 20, which is very good for Central Arkansas whenever you see 15 cases, new cases in Pulaski County. Dr. Romero, I'll invite you to come and make your comments, then I'll come back.
Thank you, Governor. So to recap, we have 416 new cases, 26 from correctional facilities, 390 from the community. Our total number of cases are 12,917. At this time, we added 10 cases from nursing homes. Four of these were in residents, six were in staff. As mentioned, currently hospitalized are increased by 5. We have 206. We have not had more patients ventilated since yesterday. Patients on a ventilator are 45. Deaths increased by 3 to 182. We have 8,352 patients that have recovered. Active cases at this time are 4,383. With regard to testing, as mentioned by the governor, we tested 7,063 individuals, 330 positives for a positivity rate of 4.7. The four major counties, as mentioned, were Washington County with a total of 126 individuals. Of these, approximately 50% have Hispanic surnames. There were 53 cases in Benton, and as mentioned, 18 of these cases came from seven households, documenting the importance of spread within households. In Pope County, there were 25 cases, and in Sevier County, 20 cases. 90% of these had Hispanic surnames. There are no linkages at this time to businesses such as restaurants, barbershops, religious centers, daycares, or gyms. The number of cases with regard to poultry business. Number of active cases today is 629, with a recovery of 829, for a total cases in poultry businesses of 1,458. And I will turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Romero. And before I turn it over for questions, I just want to speak to Arkansas for just a moment. And it's we're really at an important time in terms of this pandemic. We obviously have a significant increase in cases in Northwest Arkansas, and we have a temptation to let down our guard because we've been dealing with it for a long time. And I hope that everyone knows that we're taking it seriously, and our admonition continues to be to implement our strategy, which is to protect yourself and protect others by social distancing and wearing a mask when you're out in public. And that's very, very important for us. I want to applaud the businesses. They need to comply with this in terms of restaurants that are doing a good job, but there's a few outliers that we want to see, make sure that they comply. And I expect over the next week that the cases will continue to go up. That's every expectation that I have. And so I don't believe that we've reached this second peak, which very well could be our first peak. And so we need to take this continued seriously and to make sure that we do everything we can to live, but at the same time to control the spread of this virus. With that, we'll be happy to take any questions. Yes.
Is there someone from the workers' comp here? Sorry not to recognize.
No. Dale Douthit is our executive director of the Workers' Comp Commission, chairman, and he's not here, but he has reviewed this and is excited that this is a very good step forward for...
Is it really hard to win a case if you are a worker to prove that your sickness was incurred at the workplace? Isn't that very rarely won?
Well, infectious diseases is one of those areas that it is hard to make a workers' comp case on. There's limited areas that you can. That's why this executive order is important, to make sure that that infectious disease exemption does not cut you out of workers' comp. It says you can make a claim. There always has to be a causal connection, and certainly that is can be a challenge. But it opens the door for their coverage, which is so important for the workers.
You just made mention of it, that there's some outliers, but you're really encouraging businesses to do the right thing, to be responsible. Why grant them greater immunity then?
Well, first of all, I'm going to invite the Speaker and Senate Pro Tem to come back up, and I want to make sure that they can add to any question that they want to cover. But whenever you look at the immunity, you're talking about business liability immunity. Whenever there's a fear of reopening, whenever there's a worry about the lawsuits and bringing customers back or bringing patrons back because of the potential of lawsuits, as we've seen in so many other states, this is a chilling effect, and it can become a reality. I had my staff do a quick search about cases that have been filed across the country, and there are scores and scores of them, with other that are waiting in line to for the right time. So, I'm not aware of any in Arkansas. Of course, there are limitations on the court's proceedings in Arkansas.
Well, I think it's important to keep in mind that this is not absolute immunity. I mean, there are still exceptions for conduct that's willful, reckless, or intentional. And Arkansas law provides for a number of different circumstances in which immunity is appropriate. I believe there's volunteer immunity, there's charitable immunity, there's Good Samaritan immunity, there's recreational land use immunity. There's any number of things where the General Assembly has determined that there is a compelling public policy at stake. And that's what I think these executive orders and the legislation that was drafted in the first place exhibits, that there is a public policy at stake here, that we are wanting our businesses to be able to continue to do business to be able to provide those jobs, and that we're trying to provide some additional level of protection from just frivolous litigation. And I think everybody, to an earlier comment, and I think it's been widely agreed to, probably on all sides of the issue, that causation with regard to a virus or any type of disease can be very difficult in the first place. But just because it's difficult doesn't mean that there aren't in the possibility and the threat of litigation. And again, this is not an absolute bar to litigation. If a employer or otherwise is not acting in good faith or is acting in a way that is willful or reckless, then there's still certainly that possibility for them to be found liable.
Yeah, I'll just add that I think the reason the Senate got so involved in this so early was because I think sometimes we forget we're in uncharted territories with regard to this pandemic. Never have we had a governor shut down hundreds and hundreds of businesses by executive order in order to avoid the spread of a disease that's so devastating. And these businesses, many of them have been decimated, and many of them have fear about opening back up. And with regard to your question on the outliers, the purpose of this legislation is to allow the outliers to still be dealt with, but also to give some certainty to the people who are doing their best to try to survive in these challenging times. We're talking about barbershops and gyms and hairdressers and nail salons, people who have one or two or three employees who won frivolous lawsuit when they were doing their best to comply could be the final nail in their coffin. And this is an effort to try to give them the certainty and the surety in these uncharted waters to be able to go ahead and press ahead and open up.
Is there any question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, yes, this Governor. Is Andrew with AP. Wanted to ask you about these orders. Why should customers feel comfortable going back to these businesses if they need this level of protection? And also related to that, your message to Arkansans about where we are in terms of the numbers right now, does going into phase two, does that send a completely contradictory message to people? Are you worried that it's causing people to let up on their behaviors?
Well, first, there are two messages. One is we've got to live life. We've got to be educated. We can't have life on hold for 6 months to a year until there's a vaccination. We have to be able to carry on life and business. And so that is one message, and that is a challenge for us because that is almost contradictory or gives some people the idea that, well, everything's fine. And so the second message is we can only do those things whenever you protect yourself and you protect others and you follow the public health guidelines. And so we have to maintain those two messages. They're not contradictory, they're complementary, and we have to understand that. Secondly, in terms of what is the incentives for business, businesses want to be able to maintain a patron base, a customer base. It is about the customer, and so they want them to feel safe there. They have worked very hard to make sure that the patrons of restaurants or barbershops can feel safe. This incentivizes them because they can have almost a safe harbor, a presumption, if they follow CDC guidelines. That is exactly where we want to incentivize our employers even more than they already are naturally by their share of the marketplace. There was a lady that was online there.
Yes, Governor.
Yes, Governor. This is Juliana Clipson for 5 News over in Northwest Arkansas. I have two questions regarding our area. The first one is, I know the CDC is arriving and they will be here for a few weeks. Could you describe what role they will be playing in Northwest Arkansas and what exactly they will be doing here? And then secondly, there's some concern about a new case of COVID-19 in the Benton County Jail. You know, what's going to be done to prevent a spread there like we've seen in other prisons?
Was your first question about CDC and what they will do?
Yes.
Okay, and Dr. Romero, I don't know if you have any late update there. I'll let him comment on that, and then I'll come back. And if you have anything on the jail, but I can add if you can.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
So the CDC is here in Northwest Arkansas. They have they will be looking at cases in the area. They will be attempting to identify links, and they will be assisting us in reaching out to the Hispanic Latino community with regards to messaging for prevention. A few words about the jail. We are aware of this. Dr. Patil is involved. Testing is underway, and preventive measures are being put in place to prevent transmission within that situation. Governor.
And I'll just add on the jail. I was in communication with Judge Mooring over the weekend, and my team at Corrections, as well as the Health Department, was in communication with them as well. On site working it, and just like we have other correctional facilities across the country. There was a second lady that had a question remotely.
Hi, Governor Hutchinson. Yes, it's Emma Claybrook with 4029 News, but Juliana covered what I was going to ask you, so we're all good.
All right, and back to the table.
Governor,
yes.
I'd like to ask you a question then. It's Rolly Hoyt with THVLF.
Was quoted in an article from the Daily Beast, and she said that the surge was likely due to lifting up restrictions. What would your
Well, Dr. Romero.
Thank you for that opportunity to clarify. That was a misquote. We are in the process of addressing that. She did not intend that to sound the way it did, and I will leave it at that until we have our clarification stated.
And do you have a question?
Yes, Governor. A few months ago, the message seemed to be for Arkansans to flatten the curve, but as we reopen, is the message to adapt with the curve as numbers are increasing with the cases and hospitalizations?
Well, you're right. The first message was to flatten the curve. The reason we wanted to flatten the curve was to make sure that we had adequate hospital space and that we had adequate PPE and to give us time to accumulate those resources. And so we worked hard at that, and we did buy us the time. As you can see, we have been able to develop our supply chain for testing particularly that was weak whenever we were talking about flattening the chain. Now we've got that capacity as well as contact tracing. Now that doesn't mean that we stopped trying to flatten that curve, but that was the early motivation on that. And we have that infrastructure in place, and now we have again those two messages. And the most important right now is make sure as you go out that you protect yourself and you protect others and follow the guidelines.
What is our capacity now regarding ICU and hospital beds dedicated to COVID? I think I read somewhere that we're 80% occupied.
No, that is not true statewide. If you look at specific hospitals, it's a different level of percent, but statewide, there's not anywhere close to that. There's a sufficient capacity.
Northwest is where the pressure is. What are we thinking up there? What's the capacity up there?
I've talked to them, and certainly it's where they want to keep an eye out on that, and the hospital workers are working so hard, and they're we're keeping an eye on the number right now. They have the space. They have the capacity. And I've talked to Dr. Patterson. If there's any additional need for a surge, we'll make sure that they have the resources they need in both those areas because we have that capacity statewide.
For legislative leaders, beyond just the immunity question, there was talks about including some other stuff in a potential special session. I know the topic of race relations was brought up. Can either of you comment on the possibility of a special session at some point this summer or later this year?
Well, my experience, there's special session talk anytime you're not in a regular session. And there is a lot of talk now about some things and some issues that need to be addressed. But the practice has been, and I don't see that changing, that the only way we have a special session is if there is agreement on both ends of the legislature and with the executive branch. So there may be some issues between now and the end of the year where we get to that point. I think all of us know there's some issues we have to work through, but we're nowhere close, as far as I can tell, at least on the Senate end at that point yet.
I would echo Senator Henry's comments. There's always, any time during the interim, there's always going to be discussion about the possibility of a special session. I think that with this discussion, it probably helped to bring forward some additional issues that might otherwise have not been talked about as much. But I think it remains to be seen as to whether there's consensus that develops on those issues. And then just as with this particular, these two bills and the possibility of executive orders, a lot of it goes to the timing and where things stand and the views of members. So I think it'll just be something that I'm sure there'll be continued discussions, but there's nothing imminent at this point.
One more question.
Governor, it's Rolly Hoyt with THP 11. Online?
Yes, Channel 11, please. Go ahead.
Thank you, Governor. Cases are going up. You're confident that that's going to happen next week. How much farther are they going to go up, and how worried are you that they will start to match some of those ominous models that have come out in the last couple of weeks?
Well, you know, when I say they go up, I mean, we had 400 today, and that's down. And so you look over the course of if you have 400 a day over 5 days, that's what is that, 2,000 cases? That's a significant growth whenever you start looking at it in those terms. I hope that we beat that. But what you've got to watch is the hospitalizations. And whenever you look at those scenarios, our trend line is what you have to watch is it from a regional standpoint, as has been pointed out. So I am advising this, one, to for everybody to understand where we are and what people are saying the trend line is. Secondly, what are we going to do about it? And the response is not passing a mandate that everybody is going to somehow be penalized and turned into law enforcement if they don't wear a mask. They need to wear a mask, but we're asking for individual social responsibility and to do the right thing. That's what Arkansas is about. And then secondly, it is about making sure that we can not have so many other social problems by shutting things down. We want to be able to continue to do business. Those are the two messages, but I continue to drive how serious this is and how we need to take the steps that we can individually take. One last question.
Is there an end date on your orders?
Yes. The end date is at the end of the pandemic. Whenever the emergency ends, each of these executive orders will expire. Thank you all very much. I believe tomorrow we're going to be, Katie, where are we going to be?
Hot Springs.
That's where we're going to be. Thank you.